Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Everybody, welcome to the Nation. That's Barbecue Nation. I'm Jeff Tracy, along with Hall of Famer Ms. Leanne Whippin there.
That's right. Congratulations.
She is. She's an HOFer. Yeah. And she's coming to us from our studio in Florida. I'm in Portland, or in the Portland area today. We welcome you all to the show. We've got a really good guest this week, David Stidham from Compart Duroc. I can't talk today, David, but forgive me for that. He's the VP of sales and marketing, also formerly of A Fine Swine Barbecue. Welcome to the show, bud.
Hey, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. Good to see both you and Leanne.
You
nice
too.
To see you too.
Been a while.
So before we talk about the Duroc, the Compart family Duroc stuff, I want to talk to you about your barbecue experience, because that's the name of the show. But right. I'm always curious about how people kind of get into that, do it, compete in it, and then at some point or own restaurants like you did, or plural, and then move on. So why don't you tell us about that?
Okay, well, it all started the barbecue scenes for me started when I was living in Wisconsin. Well, of course, growing up in the South, you grow up grilling and cooking and doing all those things, but it was just expected. It was not something that you really strove for when you were very young. But I was in Wisconsin. I was the VP of marketing for Culver's Restaurants, and that's where their corporate offices were. And me and actually, Leanne, you'll get amusement out of this. Me and my youngest son, Jacob, were actually watching Barbecue Pitmasters. in its heyday, when it came out, when it was actually really good. And so we were watching that, and Jacob's like, "Dad, you're a really good cook. You should do that." And I'm like, "That, Jacob, that's a whole different level." But he goes, "Yeah, but yeah, you can do it." And so I thought about it, and I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna call my buddy Jason Cole. I think you guys know Jason Cole with the Hot Coals, and he runs the big event in Nashville now." Anyway, he and I were very good friends because he used to work for me a long time ago in Nashville, Tennessee, where I lived most of my adult life. And so, and we just got on the phone that Saturday afternoon, and we talked for like hours. The next thing you know, I'm like, I'm going to order a smoker. And so I ordered a smoker that night. I just did some research, and I bought a really nice blazing pellet grill. And then Jason invited me to come down to Winchester, Tennessee, for a big High on the Hog barbecue competition, one of the larger ones down in the that area of the country. And he says, "Hey, come down here. Me and my father-in-law, we'll show you how we do everything." And so I went down there, saw all the teams, saw my first real barbecue experience, and stayed with them and prepped and cooked and did a lot of cleaning and all that kind of dish bitch stuff. And, you know, and got to see a couple of calls. It was a lot of fun. And I was like, man, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. And so, and he showed me a lot of stuff. And so I went back to Wisconsin and I started cooking, and I started getting really into it. And then I did enter my first contest. It was called Pork Hue. And it was kind of like for teams that are just getting into it. It was only like, you know, $10 to enter. It was more of this is a participation type thing, but they had good teams there. I mean, they were like, you know, Qow and some of the other legendary teams were all cooking it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to come and see what I can do and have some fun with this thing. And it was just the most insane thing ever when I got three calls and I finished third overall, and I was just blown away. And so the proverbial hook was set. And then I just started cooking more and more competitions, making my own sauces. That's another thing, is I brought my own sauce to the thing. I wanted to have my own flavor profile right off the bat. I know a lot of you guys do that too. And so, and it just kind of escalated. And then I actually got pretty decent at it. And I'm not, it just took, it takes a while. Everybody, it takes
Oh
a while to
yeah,
figure out what the
sure.
judges really want. And then, and like I said, I went to that Westmont competition. I have never won. I've not won anything yet. I've gotten calls, but I remember that one. I got the first place brisket call and I lost my mind. And Leanne, you were right there. And
Yeah.
I went up and then in Timothy's shop with, his group, Tim's Full Belly Deli. We were both Wisconsin teams. I ended up getting Grant, a reserve Grant. He ended up getting Grant, and we were both losing our minds. And so, but
Yeah.
that was a pretty special moment. And they say that once you hit your first like RGC or GC, then they start coming a little easier. And they kind of did. And so I developed my sauces for resale. I had three different barbecue sauces, my original, my competition, my sweet, and my Texas Heat. And then I developed the Bee Sting honeys. And they became very popular, the habanero honey, the apple cinnamon habanero honey, and all those. And so I was starting to develop this kind of brand, and it was a lot of fun. But I still had this full-time responsible, corporate gig.
Right.
And so after several years and starting to win and getting, top fives at the Jack and being at the stage in Royal and Memphis in May and all this kind of stuff, I decided I wanted to try to do this full time somehow, and kind of lead my kids to show them that, hey, you can do more than just work for somebody else. You can work for yourself, and lead a path. And so I, at 50 years old, I said, I'm retiring from Culver's, and I'm going to move down to be close to my family. My dad was ill in Southern Illinois. And he was close to Scott Air Force Base. My mom, my brother, my sister, cousins, nieces, they all live down there. I've never lived close to my family as an adult. And so I found a perfect opportunity down there, a perfect building that had all the different things I wanted. And we did it. And so I retired from Culver's, went down there and opened up my first restaurant in New Baden, Illinois. And it was amazing. We built a smokehouse up front, so when people walk up the ramp to go into the place, the smoke is already in their face. They're seeing the wood piles, and we had so much fun inside the restaurant. I went to Texas to go to a lot of restaurants in Texas to see what they're doing, to see how much success they're having, and what people love about it. And what I found in Texas, what they loved is they love to go to these places, and they got the pits and the big cutting boards right in front of you. And you go through, and they're actually literally slicing and chopping and doing everything right in front of you. And I wanted to do that, but I couldn't in the state of Illinois, and especially for the codes for the building I was in. And
Sure.
so I got this huge cutting board from an Amish guy in Pennsylvania. It was like, I mean, four people to carry it. And I put it in the kitchen on a stainless steel table, and I put a camera over it. And it was big enough to where I could do brisket chopping and slicing on one side and rib slicing and glazing on the other side. And we called it Carve Cam. And when you walk into the restaurant, you look at their screens, you're seeing live, meats being cut. And they're saying, oh, I want that. I want that. And so that was how I brought that immersion into my restaurant. And we had a lot of fun in doing stuff like that. And then the mistakes started happening. Everything was going great. And then I'll just say it. Maybe I got greedy. My accountants were saying, hey, we need to open up another place. And opening up another place is exciting, but it's also pulling you away from your place. But I wanted to do in Mount Vernon, it was an old Papa John's pizza place. And it was abandoned, so we built a smokehouse out there. We were going to make it more of a to-go type of place, barbecue place. But since they left a pizza oven there, we said, well, maybe we could do barbecue and barbecue pizzas. And so we built that out, had a lot of fun, did really well, but it did splinter me. And I know, Leanne, you know all too well how important it is to be on site
Absolutely.
with your people, leading, watching, understanding everything.
The cat's
And
away,
I was
mice will
splintered.
play.
Yes, I get it. Exactly. So I was splintering, and it wasn't great for the business, because I wasn't where I needed to be as much as I needed to be. And then, but we did well, and we were bringing up some decent results. And then I had an opportunity to do it again in my hometown in Carlisle, a golf club. And so that was number three. That was year four, I think. But it's not like I did all this in 1 year or 2 years, but it was like it took a few years. But in year four, we went and did that, and that made it even worse. Because now, because I didn't have the big smokers like I did in New Baden. Like I had a good size smoker in Mount Vernon because we built a smokehouse there. But the one in Carlisle, we just did a decent sized smoker. And so I was literally getting up and the big smokers, the really big ones in New Baden, were cooking for the other restaurant and them. And so I would actually go there. They load me up. I take it over the big meats, the briskets and the pork butts, and I do chicken and pork on site. And so it became a management issue, a time issue. And so if I could go back and do it again, I'd still have New Baden and just New Baden and be, blowing it up. But COVID hit, and that part of Illinois was particularly punished. Punished, that's probably not, but it was particularly managed by the state when COVID hit. They wanted to send a message, Pritzker did. And he did. And we were in small towns. And so we didn't have a drive-through. And we were in small towns and they literally shut us down for quite a while. And so that was a tough spot to be in. And then it just snowballed from that point on, from not being
It
able to manage
probably
all
came
three
to a
locations.
point where you don't even reopen at that point.
It was that bad. And because, people would only drive so far to buy something for them from their neighborhood because everybody's wearing masks and everybody has to stand in social distance. And if we did have people come in, they literally had to go into the parking lot and we had to take their food to them. And they couldn't even come in the door. And it was
So was that the
crazy.
end of the three places then? That was it?
Pretty much. And between the burnout of me literally every day going three different locations every day. And I was honestly done. It was tough. It was hard. And I loved it. I loved what I don't have any regrets. I made so many great contacts and so many great friends, and I learned so many valuable lessons. And I still have so many friends and barbecue, and I still and I'm now I'm back. I'm still in a barbecue world, but now on a different level because I'm representing what I believe is the best pork in the world, and that's the Compart, Family Farms Duroc pork. And it's a lot of fun being on this side versus the slinging side, the slinging side.
Slinging
And so
side.
I'm selling, not slinging. And it's a lot of fun because we're refreshing the brand completely. And we're doing a lot of new fun stuff with my marketing stuff, and we're doing a lot of. There's a lot of big news going on with Compart Family Farms that a lot of people don't know yet. That's just getting announced.
Okay, good. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with David Stidham, from Compart Direct, Duroc. I don't know what's with the thing today. I haven't my tongue. I got to go take it out and put it back in. Anyway, we're going to be back in a minute here on The Nation. Hey everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool. Heritage Steel Cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it. Welcome back to The Nation. I'm JT along with Ms. Whippin, and we've got David Stidham from Compart Duroc. There, I said it right for the first time. I was going to tell you, David, I'm pretty sure that what you said at the top of the show when Pit Masters was a good show, John Marcus is going to love you for that. I'm going to make
It
sure
was
he.
amazing.
I'm going to
It
make
was
sure he
amazing.
knows that you said that. So.
Well, that was the stepping stone to it all, and it was just so authentic. That's what drew me in is how authentic it was. It was real. There was no you know what I'm saying? It was just amazing. And so, yeah, John did a great job, and the cameras did a great job. And you know, we saw everybody at their best and we saw them at their worst. And it was just authentic.
Yeah, absolutely. David, I think you hit it though. I owned a restaurant a long time ago for a very short period of time, just for the fact that I had another business I was running and I was traveling a lot in those days. And I put up the money for a friend to buy it for him because he had been in the restaurant business. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then after the first few days, he came over to where our retail store was and he said, "What shift are you going to work?" I mean, I was literally 70 hours a week on my schedule at that point. And I just looked at him and I said, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we sold it a very short time later because, and I did have a catering company later, but you can't do that. I think you and Leanne nailed it both when you say, if you're going to do something like that, that's where you got to focus.
And right, you're going to be married to it.
Yeah. And you build it up and it's doing good. And you're not the first person that ever said, well, if I've got one, two would be better. You know,
yeah,
but there wasn't two Davids.
I had to learn, and to be honest with you, having all the success I've had with business in the restaurant industry, big national brands, and did a lot of good things, and had a lot of great people around me. I probably thought I was better than I probably should have. If that makes sense.
So, how did you make that transition to? To work with Jim over there.
Actually, yeah. So when I sold the businesses, I got a contractor position with a large franchisee of Culver's, and they hired me to come and help them build marketing programs for all of their restaurants, and I did that for a while, but it just wasn't really where I wanted to be, and so I started going through this whole transition in life, in everything. And so then I had a friend of mine who is a recruiter, and he said, "Hey, I could find you something, you know, I could find you a VP of marketing position, or I could find you this, or I could find you that. And you know, your resumes, you know, it's not going to be a hard thing to do at all, but I got another thought for you." And I said, "What's that?" He goes, "Why don't you actually become a recruiter like me, and I can show you the ropes, and you can work on your own schedule. You work from home and you don't have to move and uproot your family." And cause in the restaurant industry, you got to be at the restaurant, and there's only so many corporate jobs in the town you're currently living in.
Right.
And so, I looked into it, and next thing you know, I was like, yeah, let's just do that. And then I moved into healthcare recruiting exclusively. And I had quite a bit of success with it. And then, out of the blue, Jim calls me, and because I've known Jim for a long time, because Jim sponsored me. I won a lot of trophies with Compart Duroc, and so I actually put a feeler out there, said I'm looking, I want to stay in the barbecue world, but I don't want to, you know, to work in a restaurant or do anything like that. And I actually sent it to people I respected. And people that I knew, people that sold barbecue trailers, who built barbecue pits, and who did, you know, like Comparts and so forth. And he responded, and he said, "Hey, let's chat." And so we got on the phone, and we were on the phone for just a few hours talking about what they're doing at Compart, what's going on, the growth projectile, and the way it's currently set up from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast. And he was looking for somebody to bring in, to continue the trajectory of growth that they've got going. Mm-hmm. And so one thing led to another, and he and I flew to Vegas to meet with his rep out west, and we spent some time together out there, talking about the opportunities, my capabilities, all those kind of things. And, about a few weeks later, I'm on board, and I'm kind of representing, you know, the marketing side, as well as the Midwest, and because we've got two amazing reps, Steve Countryman on the East Coast.
I Steve love Ryan Steve. Say hi to Steve for me. I miss him.
Steve Countryman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Steve Mulrine. We got the two Steves, and they're both fantastic, and they move a lot of product, and I'm learning from them because it's kind of new for me, but with my marketing skills that I bring, and I do have sales skills, You know, I'm
well,
I'm
you know, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, you use their product and you won things. So, I mean,
Yes.
there's a story behind what you're doing. It isn't just like you're a salesperson. I mean, you the proof is there. And so it
Right.
adds credibility to it, which is fantastic.
Thank you. I agree. I was in Omaha last week, Omaha and Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm with the district sales managers, his reps, and we're going into these clients, and we went into this one client and a country club actually. And we're showing them our dry aged chops, and we're showing them all these the pork bellies and all these fun things. And he says, he goes, because and I brought in a rack of ribs just because I brought an extra rack. I had some baby back ribs. And so I said, you know, if you're going to do catering, it's an easy way to do ribs and feed a lot of people, you know, pretty good price point. And I offered up. I said, you know what? And if you want, I will come up here and I will personally, as part of my service from Compart Family Farms, is I will show you exactly what I do to cook competition quality ribs in a restaurant format. And his eyes just lit up. And I said, yeah, you can offer, you know, Compart Family Farm Duroc Pork championship caliber ribs for your catering group, your a special or for whatever. And that's one of the things that I can do because I've cooked thousands and thousands of those racks.
Sure.
Same with all the other meats and proteins that I've cooked. And so so that's another little thing that I can add to the table.
Yeah, that's so important. Like Leanne said, you know, the proof is in the pudding, or it's actually in the smoker, you might say,
Right.
that a lot of meat guys don't have that experience. You know, they're good salesmen, but when you add that little flavor profile to your resume, that's good. We're going to take another break and we're going to be
Okay.
back with David Stidham from Compart Durac and Ms. Whippin here on The Nation just in a couple minutes. So stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and I have eaten. If you've ever looked at me, you know that. But I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. You can find us on any or most any podcast platform on the USA Radio networks out there. If you can't find us, call Leanne. and she will send you an autographed picture. We want to thank, of course, Painted Hills Natural Beef and Leanne's Pig Powder for helping with the
Yes,
show
Trim
here.
Tabs Pig Powder. And that is my dad's barbecue rub that has won best rub on the planet. And you can get it at pigpowder.com. It's sweet with a little back heat. And I have a spicy pig powder coming out. I've been saying that for a month or so, but you know how it's like trying to
It
close
takes
on a
time.
house.
Yeah.
So anyway, a lot of teams out there are winning with it still after all these years. And I actually use it on the circuit. So you
Yeah.
should try
That's
it.
awesome.
It is. It's great stuff. I was going to tell you, actually, the other day I did, I can't even remember now. I can't remember last week right now because it was kind of a blur, but I used it on something that I thought, you know, I should call Leanne and tell her I used it on this. And it was really good, as usual. Brought out a
It's
great profile.
very versatile,
Yeah,
yes.
I think it was seafood of some sort. Scallops.
Sure.
It was
Yes,
scallops.
scallops. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Be
Yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, that was cool. Anyway, we're talking with David Stidham from Compart Duroc today. Has the Compart product, the family, the whole thing, you know, it's been a little tough in the beef business. That's something I know a little bit about, okay? Not too much, but a little bit. But prices and the futures markets and everything of that has just gone kind of bat whack crazy there. How's it in the pork business?
Well, it's actually not been so crazy since things have stabilized from COVID, of course, you know,
Yeah.
but we're always going to be on the higher end. you know, we're premium right. pork. And a lot of people have, they know we're premium and they know we're Duroc, but they don't understand how we got there and what it really means. And that's the story I tell each and every day when I'm talking to sales reps and distributors and restaurateurs and chefs and so forth. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize that the Compart family started out as a 4-H project in 1949.
Oh,
and, I didn't know that. And they've been raising Duroc hogs since 1949. They've developed their own vertically integrated feeding program, breeding program. They literally register each swine into the registry in Illinois. But the cool part is, like, they, you know, premium pork, just like steak and beef, you know, it's all about marbling, right? Intermuscular fat. That's where the flavor is. And what they've been doing to every hog since 1949 is using an actual ultrasound machine.
Okay.
And that ultrasound machine literally measures the fat in that hog, and they're able to give it an international score, an intermuscular fat score. And that's how they actually measure and breed based on the higher scores. And they've been doing this every single year. So when you think about it, all these new Duroc programs coming on board, they're never going to catch up to the intermuscular fat scores that Compart has, because they've been doing it for so long and they've actually pretty much created that program. Mm-hmm. And they're the innovators of that program. So they've got a unique feeding program. They grow their own food. They got farms and farms and farms. And so they're incredibly sophisticated. When you see them at a barbecue competition, you see Jim walking around with Diana and they're just having fun, having a cocktail, watching their name get called all the time for these competitions. The amount of dedication, heart, and creativity, and just hard work that whole family, the entire family, has evolved. As a matter of fact, you go to the corporate office, it's a house with offices. And so that's how driven they are as a family. And it's an honor to be part of that. But I've learned so much, and there's so many moving parts to an industry like that to have scaled that large. And I alluded earlier on the show, there's some new news coming out, and that new news is that we've partnered with several new ranches in Montana to allow us to raise no antibiotic ever pork. And one of the reasons we did that, and we'll just be straight up, is the state of California and the state of Massachusetts passed a proposition called Prop 12 a couple of years ago, ruling that if you are a business in California or Massachusetts, you cannot buy pork from a producer that doesn't have a certain size gestation crate. And so we were no longer allowed to sell in California or Massachusetts. So we did partner with we built brand new ranches with them. Ranches. I mean, they're incredible, incredibly beautiful. As a matter of fact, when we went and toured it earlier last year, Jim said it's the best hog barn he's ever seen in his life, and they're huge. And so now we are now offering hogs raised without antibiotics ever. And of course, you all know, in the industry, we all know that there's a lot of marketing and a lot of gimmicks when it comes to how right. we label food products and chickens. So, hey, this is antibiotic free. Well, you know what? It has to be antibiotic free. Chickens, pigs, hogs, cows, they're not allowed to be processed if there's antibiotics in their system. But that doesn't mean you can't use antibiotics if they're young and they get sick and then it runs through their system and then they no longer have it. But the barns that we're building now are no antibiotics ever administered, and they're doing very, very well. And it's allowed us to produce a lot more product. But we are able to open that up now to not just California and Massachusetts. We're now able to produce it nationwide for, you know, the high-end butcher shops, retailers, those types of people where they've got a discerning customer that kind of wants that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, David, it's interesting you say that about the antibiotics. I've worked with Painted Hills for a long time. And they will, if an animal gets sick, they will treat them, but they pull them out of the program and sell them on the open market. They don't keep them in their process because they have their own feed yard, et cetera, right? But right. that's what they do. Are you guys doing that same similar type of action?
Yes. As a matter of fact, in the antibiotic, in the NAE ranches,
yeah.
if a pig does get sick, they're going to give it an antibiotic, and then they're going to transport it to a different facility.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And keep it separated from any other pigs in that facility. And so that facility can remain an NAE facility, and they'll instantly remove it and give it the administration, but they're not going to let the pig die.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so they're going to take it to another facility. But I will tell you this, our success rates for the first year and a half, first 6 months of producing are incredible. The yield is way higher than we ever dreamed or imagined. And I don't know if it's because the facilities are so high tech, so clean, and so well managed, but it is it's surprisingly powerful in the numbers that we're seeing right now.
Oh, that's very cool, though, that you guys
do you
are
ship
doing that.
Internationally, or is it just the U.S.?
We do internationally. We this will blow your mind how many femur bones we sell to Japan and South Korea for broths and soups.
So where I live in Oregon, we don't see a lot of Compart products all over the place. And with the advent of the ranches in Montana, are you going to be able to fill in some parts of the country that maybe you haven't had a big footprint in yet?
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do it with both our traditional pork and the new NAE pork. And so we're working hard. I know that right now Steve Mulryan is putting a lot of energy and effort into growing that business that he lost in California first. He had a lot of distributors and a lot of great accounts that weren't allowed to buy from us anymore, and that hurt. And so he's putting a lot of energy on building that back up, and of course growing, you know, the entire country. We're in pretty much all the states, but it all depends on, you know, at what level. And so a lot of distributors are just now getting wind of us, and they're growing their businesses, but it takes time. There's three of us reps, including Jim, four, but mm-hmm. But We're anticipating a lot of growth here in the next few years.
I wanted to go back, David, to a second, just to kind of clarify for people that are listening. What you've had to do with the hogs for California and Massachusetts, isn't that kind of on the same level as free range chickens? Look, if people knew anything about growing large numbers of animals for human consumption, you can't have, you know, whatever we eat every day, 1.5 million chickens in this country roaming around. You know, it just doesn't work that right. way.
Well, what a lot of people don't understand, especially when you think about it at scale, the health of the animal, it's critical that the health of the animal is safe.
Right.
And there's a lot of antibodies and a lot of things floating around out there that create sickness. And as a matter of fact, when I was with Culver's, we would do a lot of our commercials for our chicken or for our beef on ranches. And we would go down to Georgia because we used Springer Mountain Farm chicken. And we would go to Georgia and we would literally tour the facility. And you have to take a shower and you have to put on a hazmat suit to go into that facility to keep them safe. Right. And to keep certain temperatures, and there's and the same thing when you go to a Compart family farm hog farm, you know, we're protecting those hogs by these amazing filtration systems and temperature controlled facilities to make sure that they're able to have a very comfortable, stress free lifestyle, but ultimately most responsible and ethical producers and growers are trying to keep their animals as safe as possible in strong, good facilities where they can take care of them.
Absolutely. We're going to take another break. We're going to be back with David Stidham from Compart Duroc. We're going to wrap up this show, and then we're going to abuse David in the after hours, so please stay with us.
Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever's at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it. Hey, everybody, JT here. I want to tell you about Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.us, check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them.
Welcome back to The Nation. I'm JT, along with Leanne Whippen and David Stidham today from Compart Duroc. I'm sorry, I just did a four-day trade show talking to thousands of people, literally. And I was telling Leanne before we came on the air that yesterday I came home, we unpacked everything, put the studio back together and all that stuff. And today I can't talk, I can't walk, I can't do anything. You know, 6 foot one mess here. Anyway, as far as the hogs and that, how many hogs are you guys going through a day, a week, a month, that process? Because it's a continual cycle.
Yes, it is. And it's obviously varies on a lot of different factors, and a lot of factors that I'm not even quite versed enough on, but I do know that adding these two new hog barns in Montana is probably adding us another 2,000 head per month or week or per month. Yeah. It depends on, you know, what the need and the growing demand is. And there's a lot. But we were doing right around 3,000 a week. And so we're probably in that 4 to 4,500 per week range right now, depending on what's needed and where, you know,
yeah,
where it's heading and so forth. And
David, what's the yield on a hog? I mean, we raised them when I was a kid.
It's all of it.
You what?
For us, it's all of it. We actually have so many skews. I mean, from snouts to femur bones to, you know, I mean, we really try to utilize the entire animal.
I heard that Mexico loves the snouts. Is that true? Is that where you ship most of them?
I know that right now we're trying to, we're working on a deal with Mexico right now. I don't think we're doing it yet. We're getting close. But actually, you want snouts? Snoots? You come to St. Louis. East St. Louis.
Also, the infamous pituitary gland. I understand that that's probably by weight the most expensive part of a hog, because don't they buy it for medicinal reasons?
Leanne, you got me on that one. I'm not there yet.
So Leanne, speaking of that, this doesn't have anything to do with hogs, but I was doing I do this little thing called Foodie Thursday for a couple of radio stations around here that I'm associated with. I didn't know that that a big seller was gallstones from cattle. It's like nuts. And it's, again, it's like medicinal stuff in the East and all that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And it's, yeah. So there's always seems to be a use for some body part. I'll just put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's the incredible part about, you know, being in this type of business, is because, you know, every part of that animal can be respectfully used. And not in vain.
Out of all the parts of the carcass, are the ribs the number one seller, or is it the butts, or, you know, the loins?
It depends on region and so forth. I mean, obviously our loins are very popular. One of the things I am proud to talk about, and this is one of the things that does also separate us from many of our competitors, is the fact that we have such high intermuscular fat scores that we talked about earlier.
Right.
And higher pH and higher marbling scores. It allows us to dry age our loins. And so we can offer a 21-day aged ribeye chop from 12, 14 to 18 ounces. We can do a 21-day aged porterhouse chop. We can do 11-bone rib chop, a rib roast, where the restaurants can slice their own chops and French them out. Now, all with a dry 21-day dry age on them. And we have a lot of celebrity chefs, which you all know on TV. I don't know if I can mention them on this show, but you all know
Sure.
them, that they literally in Vegas and New Orleans and all these other places, Tavern on the Green in New York, they're all buying this dry aged 11-bone rib rack, and they're cutting their own steaks, and they're offering a lot of them will offer a 16-ounce dry aged ribeye steak, and right below that, they'll offer a 16-ounce dry aged ribeye chop for $30 less and still make more gross profit dollars. And so, it's all menu management at this point, and that's what Steve and I are out there showing what we can do. And so, but there's nobody else that can really offer that, and that gives us an acute advantage over a lot of our competitors, because once people see and taste the texture of our dry aged chops and how thick they are and how center of the plate beautiful they are, they want them, and it's a pretty cool product.
So can I tell you my pickled pig feet story real quick?
Sure.
When I was a kid, we went to I lived in outside of a little town here in Oregon, and we went up for some social deal, and it was the first time I'd ever been through a buffet, right? And I'm six. Go down there, and there's this big, I thought they were shrimp. I thought these were the biggest shrimp I had ever seen in my life, all right? But they weren't. They were pickled, and
Feet.
yeah, pig's
Oh,
feet. And I took it. I
the
yeah
little club.
and I took a couple three of them, and I took a big bite of one. That didn't work out well, I'll just put it that way. So but that was my first experience with, other than loins and ribs and hams or whatever. So
Yeah, we sell a lot of hams as well. We sell, I mean, we it's it
Oh my
all depends
God,
on
the hams
regional.
are incredible. We did
They
those for
are.
Easter at a restaurant, and they are unbelievable. Seriously, the best ham I've ever had.
Yeah,
I
we
served
sell a ton of them.
compo yeah, so I served compart exclusively at the Deviled Pig in Florida, and we put the name on the menu, and we thought
Nice.
the
Thank you.
story and everything, because you need to let the customers know that they're getting the finest pork there is,
Absolutely.
and they can tell the difference. And so we were very proud to put the name on the menu. Yeah. And
Thank you
also,
very
I
much,
love,
Lynn.
yeah. And Steve Kunterman, he would come and visit, and he'd tell me about new cuts that are out there. So, things that are like cutting edge. And I'm always about that. And it's the intimacy that we have and the relationship with your company that really adds not only to the fact that it's premium pork, but you're getting, that relationship, which I think is so important in business.
That means a lot. Thank you for saying that. That's kind of what has made this company so successful, is the fact that it is a family, it is a relationship, it is a what can we do to help you, and that's why I was attracted to it and why I'm so proud to be part of it. I will tell you, I was in Lincoln, Nebraska last week, and we were talking with a customer, and they're looking for a premium hot dog. And I was able to share with them that we have probably the best hot dog that's ever been invented, and we're rolling it out. And we actually partnered with Wagyu, and we're making a Compart Duroc slash Wagyu hot dog now.
Oh, wow.
And
So
so,
I sold the Wagyu hot dogs in Chicago. Is it going to be a big one, like an 8 ounce? I mean, are they regular size?
we're looking at a few different sizes at the NRA trade show in Chicago this May. I think we're going to introduce a few different sizes, and so I'll have more specs for you later on that. But it's going to be an incredible hot dog.
That's
David,
awesome.
do you guys have an online presence for a store or anything that people can?
Yes,
Okay.
we sell a lot online. Obviously, it's a small comparison to what we do with distributors and so forth. But yeah, just go to Compart, CompartDuroc.com, and you can shop. You can see where to buy our products on a local level. You can learn the Compart difference. You can un you, 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 we're putting together a chef spotlight. We hired a new executive chef who's creating all kinds of culinary ideas for sharing with distributors and sales reps and executive chefs on how to prepare our pork properly. And there's just a lot of stuff going on that we're really excited about.
Cool. David Stidham from Compart Direct. Thank you, buddy. David's going to stick around for after hours. And so don't go away for that if you're listening online. But David, thank you. Been a great guest.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And also, I'm just going to add that Compart sponsored me along my competition years. And I won a lot of awards with them. So any competitors that don't know about it, you got to use it.
You got to get on it.
Hey, if you know, you know, right?
That's
if
right.
You know,
no
you
secret.
Know. All right.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you very much.
We're going to be back next week, hopefully, with another edition of The Nation. So for Leanne and myself, go out, have some fun, make some good food, and don't forget our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. Take care, everybody.
Right.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.